from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Happy Friday. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council, and I'm Russ Jones, producer of the show, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Well, the House of Representatives voted 210 to 206 Thursday night to claw back $15 billion in appropriated spending, making good on the lead of President Trump's suggestions, who submitted the recession request last month. And House Republican negotiators today reviewed an outline of a potential immigration compromise that would offer a means for young illegal immigrants to become U.S. citizens and provide billions for President Trump's border wall. Congressman Ron Estes of Kansas will be here in just a moment to discuss. And a top CrossFit employee has been fired after supporting a gym that shut down a workout session supporting the LGBTQ community, saying celebrating pride is a sin. We'll talk with that employee, Russell Berger, later in the show. And in a letter to Kim Jong-un, more than 300 human rights organizations, including top Christian persecution watchdogs, have listed the top six things the North Korean leader must do to improve his country. We'll talk with Gina Goh. She's regional manager for Southeast Asia with International Christian Concern. And in a sad note, celebrity chef Anthony Bourdain passed away apparently of a suicide in France. He was shooting an episode for a show that airs on CNN. And those of you that listen to this program know my deep passion for the culinary arts and cooking. And while I didn't really appreciate Anthony's political views, I did appreciate his ability to be a tremendous storyteller. The passion for food was only surpassed by his passion for people. He's a chef, author, world traveler. And he knew the importance of breaking bread together, an art I believe we've lost in this busy culture of technology and iPhones and iPads. And he'll be sorely missed. Well, the House voted, as I mentioned earlier, along party lines late Thursday to pass a White House proposal that would claw back nearly $15 billion in previously approved government funding. With us now is Congressman Ron Estes. He serves the 4th Congressional District of Kansas and serves on the Homeland Security Committee and the Education and Workforce Committee. Ron, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Russ. It's good to be back.
It's good to talk with you. It's been a while. Of course, we know each other back in my days in Kansas, and wanted to bring you on today. As the former treasurer of Kansas, you know all too well about cutting costs. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, the H.R. 3 rescission bills like that are something we need to be doing more of. You know, it used to be common practice back President Carter, President Clinton, President Reagan, President Bush 41, had dozens of rescissions that they passed during their term, and it stopped during the George W. Bush and the Obama administration. And unfortunately, what we've seen during those two administrations is a debt spiral out of control because of that. And granted, but basically, just to talk a little bit about a rescission, it's basically closing programs that either aren't being used anymore. Money was kind of set aside for them, not being needed. For example, H.R. 3 that we just passed, it cut out some programs from the 2015 avian flu. So there was $148 million left from that. There was $4.8 billion left from energy programs that had been started back by the Obama administration and hadn't been used since 2011. So even though in Washington speak, $15 billion is a small amount of money, but at least it's a good first step, and I think we need to be doing more and more of these to help get our spending under control.
Right, and it's good for you that you point out these aren't critical funds. I guess if you're involved with the program, they're critical, but these aren't involving our funds that keep the government rolling, that keep major programs rolling like let's see, some opponents had blasted the administration's decision to target these unobligated funds with the Children's Health Insurance Program, CHIP, which make up about, what, $14.7 billion in rollbacks. And that's, on, of course, coming from the left. They're finding everything to object to right now. And then, you know, there's a lot of that going on, isn't there?
That's right. That's one of those mean-spirited political demagoguing that's going on. You know, we just passed the CHIP bill, funded it for 10 years, longer than it's ever been done, and we have money set aside to fund CHIP. The money that was in the rescission bill was for the previous version of CHIP before we finished the program, rolled into the new version. So it was money that was already time with expired in terms of using it. We couldn't use it if we wanted to, and yet we fully funded CHIP and authorized it for the next 10 years. So it's one of those political gamesmanship that they're out there talking and attacking us for, actually getting our fiscal house a little bit more in order.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and we're talking with the real Ron Estes, the congressman from Kansas. Apparently, there's some shenanigans going on out there with another Ron Estes. This is, I can tell you, I know his voice. I know him from way back. This is the real Ron Estes, and glad you could be with us here today, Ron. Now, you're in D.C., and what are you hearing back in the district in Kansas? You know, I'm sure folks, some get tired of our president's tweets and whatnot, but it seems like a lot is getting done that just doesn't get reported in the mainstream media, a lot of important policy issues.
There really are a lot of things getting done. You know, since I've been up here for the last, 13 months now, it's amazing when I sit in a planning meeting and I come out of that and 2 hours later you see all this social media talking about, well, they talked about this, they talked about that, they argued over this, and they disagreed and are concerned about this. And I said, wait a minute, that was the meeting I was in. That's not what we said. So it's really disruptive to people across the country to be able to know the facts versus what's being said by the D.C. media. And, you know, there's so many things that we've done that's great over the last year and a half. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and some of the regulatory reform that we put in place, our economy's going, it's going gangbusters. You know, last month they added 223,000 new jobs. And in the last 49 years, there have been 7 months where unemployment was below 4%. And two of those 7 months have occurred the last 2 months. So we're really pushing things forward. People have an opportunity to have jobs. We have more open jobs out there than we have unemployed people. And that's really what's important. What we're really looking at is how do we get good economic growth? How do we help Americans get a job for themselves that they can support themselves and support their family and really move our country forward?
Now, you're on the Homeland Security Committee for the House, and wanted to talk just a little bit about immigration. I guess there was a smaller group of House Republicans that were meeting today talking about some agreements, GOP immigration bill. Now, you know, there's some differing points of view with conservatives, differing points of view with moderate Republicans. Where are we at? What do you see happening with immigration?
You know, immigration is one of those things that the politicians over the years have really failed the country on, from the standpoint of we've allowed so many things to be broken and to not be fixed. There's so many things wrong with our immigration process today, and I don't think we can ever craft one bill to solve all of those at once. However, the president's put forth some very good ideas on immigration, and I'm a co-sponsor of the Goodlatte-McCall bill that's working its way through the House. It's not the bill that I probably would have started with because I think particularly dealing with some of the illegal immigrants, you know, the so-called DACA group, you know, they came here illegally. I would have preferred a little bit more of a fine dealing with that. But the compromise that's in the Goodlatte-McCall bill basically says they can have legal citizenship or legal residence, not citizenship, but legal residence, as long as they don't get involved in criminal activity, it's going to be automatically renewed. And if they want to, they can apply for citizenship, but they don't get a jump line ahead of anybody else. The second piece of that that's really important is border security. You know, part of the problem dating back to the 1987 Act was that border security was not enforced. Even when amnesty was given to all of those individuals back then. And so what we've seen is in the pursuing 31 years after that, we've seen a whole lot more people cross over the borders illegally because we didn't secure the borders. So funding to have increased number of personnel, funding to have a wall or a fence in parts of the border where it makes sense. We're not going to put a fence the whole border from Pacific Ocean to the Gulf of Mexico, but it makes sense in some places, particularly where there's a house on the Mexican side and a house on the California side, for example. And those are places where a fence makes sense for border security. We're seeing a lot of things like tunnels being built from a basement in Mexico into a basement in Southern California. Not only are they smuggling people, but more importantly, they're smuggling lots of drugs. And a lot of the issues mm-hmm. that we're seeing with the opioids and the fentanyl is being smuggled through and that. And so we want to make sure we have the funding to do that. Also, looking at visas, and we've got ourselves sideways trying to be generous to people and protecting the core family. And so instead of having the core family, we've gone to this extended chain migration, which basically says when someone becomes a citizen, they can bring in their spouse, they can bring in their minor children, but also their brothers, their sisters, their adult children, their parents. And it really has gone away from thinking about the core family. And so what we want to do is get it back to the point where when somebody becomes a citizen, they can bring in their spouse and their minor children. The other adults in their family can come in on their own volition and apply for citizenship. So I think it's a good bill. We need to do something with immigration. There's so many things broken. We need to fix as many as we can and keep a bill going forward. There's several different ideas being worked in the House, and I'm optimistic that we can get something moving forward.
Well, it certainly seems that there's been a pretty major curb of illegal immigrants coming into the country, and of course the left is screaming all about sanctuary cities and whatnot, and I think the average citizen doesn't like that. I think we're going to see that show up in the midterm elections, just from what we hear on Washington Watch here. And Congressman, appreciate what you're doing. Any final thoughts here about President Trump's meeting with the G7 and then heading to Singapore?
You know, I think, part of the things that we're seeing is we still need to make sure that America gets involved in world activities, that we still are highly engaged in the things that are going on across the world. Trade's a huge issue. We need to make sure that we keep free and fair markets. The president's moving in that direction. There are some hiccups along the way. I would do a couple of things differently than what the president's done, and we've, at that, from the House, we're pushing him on correcting some of the things that we think he's doing wrong to make sure that we get good, fair, free trade policies that work for American industry and American agriculture, and want to keep moving in that forward process. And going to Singapore, I mean, obviously it's a dangerous world. We're seeing right. that out of North Korea. We're seeing that from ISIS, from Iran. And, as a president, he needs to be engaged in helping make sure that we keep our country and to some degree, the whole yep. world secure.
Congressman Estes, thank you so much. We're out of time. Appreciate you joining us here on Washington Watch. Appreciate what you're doing in Congress.
Thank you, Russ.
All right. Thank you so much. Well, coming up next, North Korea remains one of the world's most repressive states, despite recent diplomatic efforts. Coming up next, we'll talk with Gina Goh of the International Christian Concern. When we return, you're listening to Washington Watch.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Have you ever wondered how your cell phone company is spending your hard-earned money? For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, your money will only be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. Patriot Mobile is offering unlimited talk, text, and data at better prices than anything you can get from Big Mobile. More importantly, up to 5% of your monthly bill goes specifically to support conservative causes at no additional cost to you. You get the same nationwide coverage with unlimited talk, text, and data for a better price. Right now, unlimited talk and text starts at $20 a month. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. To switch, call 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. Past speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
You've tuned in to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. I'm Russ Jones, producer of this very program, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Been good to be with you the past few days. Lord willing, Tony will be back with us on Monday. And he'll be all charged up and rested up, having spent some time with family. Well, just 5 days before a much-anticipated summit between the leaders of the United States and North Korea, some 52 organizations representing some 300 non-governmental organizations and coalitions sent a letter to North Korea's ruler, Kim Jong-un, calling on him to undertake reforms to end serious rights abuses in repressive autocratic nations like his. Joining us now is Gina Go, Regional Manager for Southeast Asia with International Christian Concern, who are among the signers of the letter. Gina, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Russ. It's a great privilege for me to be on this show.
Well, good to be with you, to have you here. Let me begin here. The letter begins, quote, "As your government undertakes new efforts to increase its engagement with the rest of the world, we urge you to move rapidly to institute lasting improvements to the dire human rights situation in the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea." So how did this letter come about?
This was a letter. It's actually a follow-up letter by the Human Rights Watch. We actually sent another letter on April 27th. It's also to urge they have this to improve inter-Korean relations, to increase the cooperation between the two Koreas, and also encourage more exchange between civil societies and resolve the humanitarian issues. And because we know that President Trump and Kim are going to meet very soon. So we feel like this is a prime time for us to continue to pound on this issue on human rights, because we definitely feel like human rights is essential and we don't want it to be left out of this important conversation.
Now some say that denuclearization should be up front and center in this meeting between the two. And I would think the human rights issues have got to be in the mix there as well, because they reflect a larger concern. Would you agree?
Yes. I mean, definitely decolonization is something that everyone is hoping that, you know, North Korea can do its part on, and, you know, because it contributes to world peace. But we think it's even more crucial for North Korea to focus on its people, because we all know that as the most isolated state in the world, it has done it has committed atrocity against its people for so many years. So we definitely don't want to miss this chance when they are willing to open up to dialogue. So that's why we want to bring up the human rights issue to the leader.
Now, one of the points I saw in the letter states to prioritize covering people's basic needs and accept humanitarian aid. Well, is it right to assume there, and I didn't know this, do they not receive humanitarian aid?
Actually, the South Korean government wanted to help, so they approved funding to give to North Korean government last year, but they actually turned it down. They refused to receive the aid. So that's why we think it's definitely not right for them to turn down international aid when people are willing to assist the people that are in need.
Wow, that says a lot, doesn't it? I think most folks don't know that North Korea does not accept humanitarian aid, which says volumes about how they see their own people, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, unfortunately, a lot of times when disasters hit North Korea, for example, they were also speculation that when they did a nuclear test, one of the recent nuclear tests, many houses collapsed and a lot of people died because of lack of information. It's hard for outside world to know what's going on, but it just seems like the leader doesn't have a genuine heart for its people, because this type of event should be brought up and the people's basic needs should definitely be met. But it seems like he's just so focused on nuclearization and making sure that he stays in power.
And one of the other points is to take action to end abuses in detention in prisons. Of course, we've talked about that here with the release of some of the prisoners.
Yes. I think we all know, in the case of Otto Warmbier, many prisoners currently in there definitely suffer a great deal. Some of the graphics I saw from North Korean defector organizations, definitely heartbreaking. They have all type of, unfortunately, creative ways to torture the prisoners there. And the prisoners there, they are subject to all kinds of unimaginable torture or rape or just things that it's hard for us to imagine. So we definitely feel like this is something that they need to address. They need to respect human rights. And we all know that recently the State Department also issued a report and saying that, you know, up to this day, they still have about 120,000 prisoners. It's like a living prison, basically. So this is something that we also feel like is important.
Now, real quick, we're about out of time. What about China? We're seeing a story in the Washington Times, China's persecution of Christians at the highest level since Mao.
Yes. Xi Jinping, President Xi Jinping, he is definitely someone who has been powerful. And I think because of that, he wants to be in control of every single thing. And religion is not any exception. So he wants to make sure that all the underground churches are under the state-sanctioned churches. So that's why we are seeing a lot of persecution against house churches, forcing them to cancel their gathering or actually ask them to register with the state groups, because they just want to make sure that religion is under control, because they are fearful of the growing Christian population in the country.
Well, Gina, thank you so much. We're out of time. Thank you for coming on. Really important issues, important for our listeners. Thank you for what you do.
No problem. Thank you so much.
Gina Goh, Regional Manager for Southeast Asia for International Christian Concern. Well, coming up next, the latest display of rage and rabid leftist intolerance. We'll talk with Russell Berger. He's a former executive at CrossFit who got fired for a supportive tweets of a gym canceling a workout session in honor of LGBTQ Pride Month. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. We'll see you after the break.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT. For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-APATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. This new anti-Semitism is disguised simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at these incidents reveal how Jewish college students are being attacked merely for believing that Israel should exist. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
You've tuned in to Washington Watch. Russ Jones here, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Well, this is one of those, we could do one of these stories every day, unfortunately. And it highlights the intolerance of the left, who accuses the right of being intolerant. But a former executive at CrossFit posted on Twitter that he was encouraged that a local gym decided to cancel a workout session in honor of LGBTQ Pride Month because, in his view, as a Christian, celebrating pride is a sin. And, quote, the intolerance of the LGBTQ ideology toward any alternative views is mind-blowing. I agree. We tell those mind-blowing stories here every week on Washington Watch. And CrossFit is a fitness regimen developed by Greg Glassman. And with us now is Russell Berger. He's the former Truth and Knowledge Officer at CrossFit. Russell, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me, Russ. I appreciate you inviting me on your show.
Well, thank you for being here. Kind of an ironic chain of events, given your job title, the Truth and Knowledge Officer. As a Christian, it's part of our call as Christians to share biblical truth, and this didn't go so well, did it?
It didn't. A quick correction on that. My official title with the company was Chief Knowledge Officer, so CKO is the abbreviation for that. But your point, I think, is a good one, which is that I was responsible for kind of knowing the truths of how our company operates and how we're supposed to represent the CrossFit brand. And a good deal of what I did was defend the CrossFit program and the CrossFit methodology from falsehood, from accusations from competitors and others within the industry that tried to misrepresent CrossFit. And so it was my job to put the record straight and to share what CrossFit truly was. So the error is not quite that far off.
Well, yeah, thanks for clarifying that. So you posted this tweet, and what happened next?
Well, I knew when I made this tweet, when I posted about this, that I was weighing in on a subject that no one had asked for my opinion on. But I felt a great deal of empathy for this gym owner, because what I saw was an individual expressing just his convictions and choosing not to host this unique event to celebrate LGBTQ pride, being essentially the subject of an entrepreneurial assassination by a mob of Twitter activists, and it was frustrating. So I supported him, knowing that that would direct that same anger towards myself, and it did. After a pretty short period, my boss and the founder of CrossFit got in touch with me through somebody else in the company and asked me to take the comments down. I was happy to do that. You know, at that time I was still working for CrossFit and had no knowledge of kind of what was going to happen with my job. So I took them down and was quickly told that I was going to be put on unpaid leave. And then not long after that, I received the information that I was going to be terminated from my position. And I want to be clear that I do think my comments were imprudent. My use of my private social media to comment on all kinds of topics related to my Christian religious views and CrossFit related posts and comments and news stories has been something that's been going on for years. But in this particular case, I think it drew my company into a subject and into an area that they didn't need to be drawn into and otherwise wouldn't have weighed in on. And I put them in a difficult spot. And I do regret that. However, I think that this is a really sobering and really disheartening commentary on the state of our culture and our society that this standard, historic, orthodox Christian belief that pride is a sin and that the lifestyles associated with the pride movement are sin is now so intolerable a position that simply by publicly stating that on those platforms, it's expected that you can't keep your job. And I think that's the real issue here, and that's my biggest concern.
Yes, and it's not just the Christian faith. I mean,
that's right.
To broaden that, the Quran, the Torah, so the Islamic faith, the Jewish faith, but it's the Christian faith that typically gets held to this different standard. But your firing does indeed support your statement. That's also the irony here of the intolerance of the LGBTQ ideology toward any alternative views is mind-blowing. So here, you know, the unfortunate events are supporting your statement, aren't they?
It is, and it is deeply ironic. You know, that's one of the ways that I think is helpful to try and understand what's happening here is to recognize that my crime in the eyes of this movement was blasphemy. You know, the things that I said, the expressions that I uttered, are something that they won't tolerate. And if you do say the things that I said, you will be punished. And those who are really active in this strategy won't just come after you individually, but they will put pressure on your employer. They'll put pressure on relationships that are publicly visible. And they'll do everything they can in order to make sure you are punished for holding a view that they disagree with. It's effectively a secular blasphemy law.
Right.
And it's really unfortunate.
Well, Russell, thank you for joining us on Washington Watch. God bless you and the journey. Keep us up to date on where you end up. I'm sure God has something really, really big for you. And thanks for taking time to be with us.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Well, let's go to the phone lines next. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. I want to share a few things about Anthony Bourdain. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? Are you looking for more internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If you answered yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. And join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Dana Lash, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. You'll also find plenty of networking opportunities with attendees and organizations that share a Christian worldview on issues like religious liberty, the sanctity of life, natural marriage, and national security. On September 21st to 23rd, stand with Values Voters to restore our great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org. Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-APATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com.
Round in third, heading towards home. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Give us a call, 866-372-7234. Just like to share a little bit. Renowned chef Anthony Bourdain was found dead today of an apparent suicide. And he was in France shooting an episode for his program Parts Unknown that airs on CNN. It was in its 11th season. He spent each show uncovering little-known places, obscure people. He was an amazing storyteller. Didn't much care for his politics, but that didn't matter here, folks. Through food, he celebrated a variety of cultures. He traveled the world. You know, he wanted to be a comic book artist. But ironically, a trip to France in his early days, which is the place of his death, it all changed that. His first restaurant job as a teenager, he was a dishwasher in a famous lobster restaurant in Cape Cod. Then he found out that college wasn't for him. He dropped out. He wound up going to the renowned Culinary Institute of America. Worked in restaurants in New York. Became really, really good. Encountered the stresses of that work and struggled with addictions and overcame the addictions, apparently. This is one of them deaths that's really difficult for me. You know, I've shared on this program a lot of the heartache I have from my mom and her issues in life, but there's one thing that she did that's somewhat related to this story that I will always be grateful for is when I was 16, about 2 weeks after my birthday, I was laying in the bed in Kansas City, and she came up there, ripped the covers off the bed, and she said, "You get your rear end out of that bed. You are not going to lay here in that bed all summer long. I do not want to see the whites of your eyes until you have a job." And I went out on the streets of Kansas City and searched all day long, could not find a job, and it was about 4:30 on a Thursday. And I was driving on State Line. On the right side of State Line was Kansas. On the left side was Missouri. And there on my left was a place called the Carriage Country Club. The Carriage Club. One of those hoity-toity private country clubs. Cost back in the day about $5,000 to join. Overlooked the country club plaza. Stopping in to apply for a job at a country club restaurant of any kind at 4:30 is not a good time. That's prime time. But I did. And there at the podium was a guy in a nice-looking tuxedo, young guy, big guy, obviously played football, I think, and went in there, little old me, and told him I was looking for a job, and he reached under the podium and took me back to the grill where the golfers have lunch. Sat me in the corner and said, fill this out, I'll be back in 10 or 15 minutes. So I methodically filled out that application and waited for him patiently. He came down, sat down, we had niceties, conversations, and he went through my application there and said, well, it looks like you've done quite a bit for, you know, your age and being in high school. And then he got real quiet. I'm like, oh no, not going to get a job. And I looked at him and I had my hands folded sitting on the table and I said, sir, I'm going to be honest with you. My mama kicked me out of bed at 8 o'clock this morning and said, I don't want to see the whites of your eyes until you have a job. And this is my last stop. I've been all over Kansas City and I will work really hard. I will do whatever you need me to do. He was quiet, got a big old smile, started laughing. And he said, can you start tomorrow? I said, you better believe it. I was a half an hour early, got fitted in my uniform, and I worked there all through high school and a number of years through college. Matter of fact, that's where I became so passionate about food. And to this day, I can sit down at a table that has a gazillion utensils on it and know where what every utensil is to be used for. I've sat next to seasoned seniors who have been out around the world 5 times, and I've leaned over and whispered, you start with that fork on your farthest left first, and you'll work your way in. Had some interesting conversations about that. And to this day, sometimes I wonder if I missed a calling of going to culinary school. I love to cook that much. We just built a big, beautiful outdoor kitchen here. But I love it because I think there's something really biblical about it, because there's an opportunity to fellowship with people there. And Anthony Bourdain, he knew what it meant to celebrate a variety of cultures and to break bread with people. And we've lost that in our culture. We're so busy with our iPads and our iPhones that we don't take time to just sit and eat with each other. And then when we do, we're so busy looking at our iPhones that we miss conversation. Pick my son, maybe listening. I know you got that love for food from me. At least that was something good I could pass on. But he took his own life, and folks, that's nothing to joke around with. If you need help, go talk with somebody. Go talk with a pastor. Go make your concerns known. He must have felt so alone and so desperate that he felt like he had no place to go. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones. Let's go to North Dakota and talk with Dwight. Hi, Dwight. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hello?
Hi, Dwight. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Yeah, hi. Just a quick question that I had was, it's something that's been nagging on the back of my mind since the Supreme Court decision in the Jack Phillips case. And I'm wondering, in that situation, you know, the court decided that Jack's rights had been infringed because the tribunal in Colorado was too overtly hostile. So what is to prevent them from, you know, making maybe a change in the personnel of that tribunal and going after him again and just changing their approach slightly and getting a different decision next time?
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. I think if you read the tea leaves and read between the lines, you do read that in the dissent and in the information that we've seen in that ruling is that that tribunal needs to approach him differently. Is that what you mean?
Yeah,
and that could very well be, but I don't think these challenges are over. I think they're part of our new normal in our culture, and You know, you bring up a good point, and we'll be following this story on the Masterpiece Cake Shop in Jack, and we'll be seeing what he has in front of him. But he says he's going to get back in the wedding cake business. So you bring up a good point, and one that we will be following. Thanks, Dwight. Appreciate you calling on this Friday. Russ Jones here, sitting in for Tony. Any thoughts, folks that have struggled with suicidal thoughts that might want to call, give us a call. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. You know, the tragedy is that when someone takes their own life, it leaves those of us remaining just kind of dumbfounded. What was I missing? How could I have helped? What could I do that could have changed that? And, you know, it's a sad state of affairs. We've seen this in Robin Williams. We've seen it in a number of celebrities. And, you know, I'm sure there's folks that are listening that see it in their own life. You know, I see the phones lighting up here, and glad you're calling. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Hi, Joe.
Can you hear me?
Hey, Joe. I can. Welcome to Washington Watch.
All right. And Russ, thanks for all you do. I just wanted to thank you for your story, your parents forcing you to go out and get a job, and I get a similar story I wanted to share. And I tell you, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. I was probably 16 or 17, and I didn't have a job, and my parents told me, you're going to mow the yard every day, whether it needs it or not, until you find a job. And so I mowed the yard for about 3, 4, 5 days every day. Obviously didn't need it after the first day, and then finally got motivated to go out and get a job. And I've had two jobs ever since. It's the best thing that ever happened to me because it, you know, taught me at a young age the work ethic and, you know, paying taxes and, you know, earning your way. So thanks for your story. And I said, just if you got any parents out there that are looking for a way to get their teenagers motivated, tell them they're going to mow the yard every day, whether it needs it or not, until they find a job.
And don't we remember those first jobs?
It's a blessing. One of the best blessings I've ever had in my life.
I remember at that job, I got angry one night, and I'd been there about a year, and I left the next day, and I went and got a new job at Taco Bell. Oh my gosh. I worked at Taco Bell for 2 weeks. It wasn't 2 weeks that I was knocking back on that job, and I got back at the country club.
I know. I have the utmost respect for fast food workers. I always go out of my way to be nice to them, because I tell you, there's not a harder, but I'm sure there's it's a very, very difficult job with very little thankful customers. So I always go out of my way to be nice to them and thank them and help them and encourage them.
Well, Shabbat Shalom, Joe, and blessings to you. Have a good weekend.
You also. God bless you.
Thank you. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Love to get your thoughts. Let's go to Jason in Longview, Texas. Hi, Jason.
Hey, hi. I appreciate you taking my call. You know, you asked for people to call in who have dealt with issues of suicide. Never in my wildest imagination would you expect to encounter that with your grandmother, but I did a number of years ago. She was going through a difficult time, and without going into all the ins and outs of it, she jumped from a bridge in Dallas, and I was at work, and I'm trying to get to the point of this. She did not die from the impact. She was still alive. She went through surgery. So I can definitively say that it was a failed suicide attempt. However, the injuries that she sustained, you know, being elderly, were just too much. And later that night, you know, it was the first time I stood over anybody's body as you watch the last bit of breath go out of them that God gave them. But here's the important thing I want your listeners to understand, and everybody who's out there. People who take their own lives, and even those who don't, who die of natural causes or whatnot, the biggest concern for us as believers is that person saved? Do they have their ticket punched to go to heaven and be with Jesus? My grandmother was raised in church. where she tried to take her life. And
I think we lost Jason. Not sure, Greg, what's going on here. Can we get up another caller? Sorry about that, Jason, if you're listening. Sorry, we... all right, let's go to Brad. Hi, Brad. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what's on your mind?
A little insight for you. Well, I've gone through a tough time myself, you know, over the last 3 months. You know, God had pretty much threw away everything God gave to me, everything wonderful. Was working in Houston, got mixed up in drugs, got off the drugs, smoking now, and then I hit the bottle, lost my lady. She's gone. She went to rehab. Can't find her. I turned myself over to God because I was going to throw myself off the GNO Bridge in New Orleans, and I pulled over the side of the bridge. I thought about my kids, but I'm like, you know, I'm just a waste. I've done too much wrong, but I have to go to confession first. So, crap, I got to put it off. So I went and talked to the priest. He absolved me all my sins, so I just went and prayed a lot. He had me come back, meet the bishop. He put the oil on me. And so I don't know what he wants me to do, but my life, as I knew it, it's gone. Now I just serve him. But I'm definitely suffering, man. I'm suffering bad.
Well, Father God, I just pray for Brad. Your kids are worth living, and God has something in store for you. I absolutely believe that, and just praying that you can surround yourself with folks that can see the best in you and what He has in store for you, Brad. And appreciate you calling and sharing that story. I know it means a lot to other folks, and don't give up on yourself.
I didn't give up. Yeah. I try to help other people. I go to adoration. I pray for myself last. I pray that my lady's getting the help she needs. I don't know if she'll ever forgive me for the things I said. I heard her son, but it did bring me closer to God. I just, you know, because I was doing stupid things, not evil things, just really stupid things. And so sometimes you just got to crush you and break you down and bring you back down and remind you who's the boss. But it's still tough.
Well, thank you, Brad. I appreciate you.
I kill myself. I'd probably get that water and have a long swim. Get traffic ticket, get put in a psych ward. But I don't think he'll let me die. He's got something for me to do. So I can make it every day, then other people can make it. I don't know what happened to Anthony Bourdain. He seemed to have everything like Robin Williams, but you never know what's working in the background.
Yeah. Brad, we're out of time.
He'll make it $40 million a year.
I hate to cut you off, Brad, but we're out of time. Thank you for calling. David in Tulsa, sorry we didn't get to you. Thanks for listening. I leave you with this from Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. And friends, the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries. We'll see you again on Monday. God bless and be well.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.